About to get into wild card weekend on today's episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, along with a couple coach firings. John Harbaugh out as Ravens head coach, and the Dolphins fire Mike McDaniel. All that and more. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. We got CJ Medeiros. We got Adam Wright from the depths of the producer role. We got our main man, special guest from Squawking Eagles podcast, Mike. Thanks for joining us for today. Talk some Eagles, talk some playoff football.
Can't wait.
Heck yeah. We'll get to the Eagles a little bit later, of course, and we'll spend a nice little bit on that. But let's get into the coach firings first. Which one do you guys want to start with? The biggest one or the one that happened most recently?
Probably start with McDaniel.
Yeah, I would say him.
All right, McDaniel. Dolphins firing him yesterday, so that was the most recent firing that has happened. Bucks have been also. What the hell was that face, CJ?
I was thinking, but yeah, I thought.
Well, Tampa did some changes today, yeah, but in terms of head coach,
that
is the most recent. So Dolphins firing Mike McDaniel. This was, we're calling this week two, week one. Week three, The writing was on the wall for Mike McDaniel all year long. I think the biggest crime of this whole thing is that A, he lasted a whole season. B, he lasted a day longer than John Harbaugh. And B, he didn't get fired on Monday. I think those three things are the biggest crimes for me. Not really. But I think that's just foul in general. Let's go around the table. Mike, your thoughts from this recent decision from the Dolphins. And, hey, we were just talking about it. Who knows? Maybe Mike McDaniel on the Eagles next year.
Yeah, this it's crazy to think that, as an Eagles fan, that we already want our new – we're on a new offensive coordinator already, because we've struggled all year with this guy. He pretty much is incompetent of calling any kind of play if it's not a – delayed up the middle, pretty much. That's all he likes to play or call. But seeing Mike McDaniel out there, yeah, it's great. But again, like, you got to remember, we have Vic Fangio as our defensive coordinator. Who was Mike McDaniel's defensive coordinator 2 years ago? Vic Fangio. So it didn't really work out between them. And a lot of talks, like Eagles fans are crazy. So they're saying, fire Nick Sirianni, fire Petullo, and bring in Mike McDaniel and have him call the offense. I'm like, no, what? People are like nuts. They're nuts because they're not getting what they thought they were going to be getting with Petullo. They think they're going to get it with McDaniel and get rid of two guys and bring in one. It's just not going to work. It didn't work in Miami. It's not going to work in Philadelphia. I like McDaniel. I don't want him as an Eagles offensive coordinator and or head coach.
I think one of the bigger reasons why it didn't work out for Vic was because he was a hard-nosed guy and, well, perfect for Philly. And We saw with Brian Flores, as well as the head coach, when he was head coach of Miami, he was a hard-nosed guy, and Miami didn't like it. Players didn't like it, so they got rid of him.
Yeah.
So I think those are very that's a very reasonable reasoning to not want Mike McDaniel, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Adam, CJ, one of you guys want to take the floor?
Adam, you can.
Mike, how is it that your fan base is so crazy, but you're like actually sane?
I'm very curious.
I'm very impressed.
Yeah, I too wonder this.
Okay, so last year I wanted Nick Sirianni on a plate. Like, I want him out of Philadelphia after the bye week. I want him gone. And then he went on this tear for the rest of the season. And after they won the Super Bowl, I said, I'm not going to badmouth Sirianni for the rest of his career at the Eagles. And or Jalen Hurts. And so, yeah, I want to keep Sirianni as long as possible. He's 5 years in the playoffs. He's got a winning record in the playoffs. He has two Super Bowls with a Super Bowl win. I don't want to get rid of him. He's a good coach. He's not a good offensive play calling coach. That I know. That's not his forte. He needs to get a guy who can call the plays and knows what he's doing, and like he can manage the players and the game on his own. He doesn't have to worry about that. Once he did that last year with Cullen Moore, it was a totally different game. Like Cullen Moore took over and Nick kind of got out of the way and you saw what happened. So yeah, I'm sane, but you know, the other guys on the podcast, they don't agree with me. They want to get Sirianni gone. They want to get Petullo gone, definitely. But like tonight, we're going to record tonight. We're going to talk about this whole McDaniel coming to Philly thing. And it's, I don't want that to happen.
It seems like he's the type of guy he's really good as a coach when he has his head screwed on straight, but it's when it seems that he takes his eye off the ball really easily. And that's when they start to fall into some trouble, but it's when they start to hit some adversity where he puts on a regular, like normal person face.
Yeah.
And they start winning some games. And that's what they did all season long. He was on the hot seat in the beginning of last season. Yeah. They shaved his head and they went on a tear.
Yeah.
They had Saquon Barkley, but they had a talented team the season prior. And, you know, after starting 9-0, I think they won like one game at the end of the
They went on a nice season. They were 9-0 and then they lost and it ended up being 11-6 that year. That was a tough year. That was a year where, again, Brian Johnson was the offensive coordinator. They fired the defensive coordinator in the middle of the year. They brought Matt Patricia in. It was a dumpster fire, to say the least. And I think they did the right thing by getting an older defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio, because you know he's going to be around. He's not going anywhere. I'm in the age where, like, yeah, bring in an offensive coordinator who doesn't want to be a head coach anytime anymore. Like, guy who's just going to be set in his ways and he knows how to play call. And let's have Jalen Hurts have a coordinator for more than 2 years in a row. That'd be nice.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say, I think Mike McDaniel is a really good offensive mind as sure. far as a guy who can just sit there and call plays, not coach, not be a leader, just kind of sit there and coordinate.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty good there. And he'll probably find another spot, whether that be with the Lions or wherever, or with the Commanders. They're trying to get back on track with Jaden Daniels. But as far as Mike McDaniel being a head coach, his days are over, at least for now. But I can very easily see this turning into another Josh McDaniels type of situation where he ends up being really good as an offensive mind again.
Yeah.
And then he's getting head coach consideration already. I mean, look at Josh McDaniels right now. He's done such a good job that you're getting a couple of people. There's some talking heads on Twitter who are like, was it really McDaniels? Was it just the Raiders? You couldn't turn them around.
Yeah. But then also, was it the Broncos? You couldn't. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
It's like, guys,
it might be the Raiders. To be honest with you, it probably was the Raiders, but I don't know.
But he's a great offensive mind. And again, I see Mike McDaniel the same way. And he did do his best with Tua. I mean, I don't think Tua's that good of a quarterback. But I just don't think he's a very good head coach. He's not a leader. It seems like his whole demeanor is about just joking around and being laid back. And that's all fine and good when you're winning. But when you're losing, it gets real old. And I think he's a good offensive mind who needs to just settle into an OC role and until like 4 years from now when he gets more head coach consideration. So
I'm trying to remember, what coaching tree is he from? Is he from the Sean McVay coaching tree?
He's from the Shanahan coaching tree.
Shanahan. Okay.
Yeah. He was on the Niners.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
CJ, your thoughts.
For those of you who've been watching for a bit, you know I hate Mike McDaniel. So this was like Christmas all over again, just seeing his sad little face getting fired. It's wonderful. And honestly, I think Adam hit the nail right on the head. You know, he took the words out of my mouth. He's just a very unserious guy. He runs a gimmick offense. He has a college-style playbook. The players don't respect him. The locker room's in disarray. They're showing up to meetings late. And this all, of course, came out last year. And then there were rumors, he went on a winning streak against tanking teams and that weird, fluky Bills game. And now he saved his job. And, you know, Dolphins fans that try to tell you he's not the problem are like, but on the player report cards, he had the highest grade. It's like, well, yeah, because he wants to be their friend. He's not a coach. He's not a leader. He's not an alpha. He's not the leader of men. I always said he's the ringmaster of a circus. That's always how it's been. Like when you watch his offense and you see them resort to gadgets and gimmicks, it's like, wow, this is why you haven't won a playoff game. This is why your record against teams above 500, I think, is now 4-18. This is why you have not won a single game below 40 degrees. He's an absolute demon as an offensive coordinator. Great offensive mind. This man should not be a head coach. And yeah, this season pretty much confirmed it. I have no doubt that he'll land on his feet, probably in a coordinating role somewhere, be it Philly, Detroit, or wherever. But this was well-deserved. And you know what the funniest part was? Allegedly, he had saved his job. Then Harbaugh got fired. And, you know, we're going to get to that soon. But as soon as Harbaugh got fired, Josina Anderson from NFL Network put out a report that said Miami's really infatuated with him. And all of a sudden, you know, McDaniel just got a lot less safe. So I think I'll get to it later. But yeah, I feel like if Harbaugh doesn't get fired, McDaniel probably doesn't either. And well, as soon as Harbaugh hit the market, they moved on from him fast.
Hey, I do have to say the Dolphins did have a better record than the Chiefs this year. So
there's that.
So I like that. I like that stat.
I like that stat a lot too. Well, CJ mentioned him, so let's get into John Harbaugh getting fired as from the Ravens. So, well, that Sunday Night Football game we were talking about last Friday. Well, this was the loser leaves game, and it truly was, since now John Harbaugh is out as head coach for the Baltimore Ravens. I heard a good take about this, and Mike, you probably can add a little insight as an Eagles fan. It's the Andy Reid situation, you know, like Andy Reid's a great coach, but sometimes the message just doesn't get through anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, definitely. That's what happened in Philly with Andy Reid. 100%.
Yeah. Granted, I don't think Andy Reid was also blown two score leads 18 times in his coaching tenure in Philly, but
yeah. No, he did not definitely do that.
Yeah.
The thing with Harbaugh though, like Harbaugh is from the Andy Reid coaching tree, and he is a coach that's been there for 18 years. And so I think a younger team is probably going to want to bring him in. People are saying the Giants, you know, those teams, like maybe, you know, I would see him like going to Las Vegas. Like, why not? Like that would be a great spot for him to go. But I could see why. I was thinking if it wasn't going to be Harbaugh getting fired, they were going to trade Lamar Jackson. It was one or the other. That's what I thought was going to happen. And so, you know, honestly, like, you know, Lamar Jackson, all that he's done, he hasn't really won the big games, right? He's won the MVP, and that's just, you know, kind of like an individual award. He hasn't really won that Super Bowl. He hasn't even been to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot to think about that.
Yeah, and there is, like you mentioned Lamar, there is to say that Lamar was a big reason why they lost a lot of those big games. But a lot of those big games, you can also solely pin on Harbaugh himself, too. I think the Ravens also fired their defensive coordinator, correct?
I didn't see that.
I haven't seen that. They should if they're not gonna.
I mean, whatever.
Next I think they all probably will. They're all gonna get fired.
Yeah,
if the head coach is gone, they're all gone.
Yeah, exactly. CJ, your thoughts?
Well, I was the one who said, you know, for the Steelers Ravens game, I think the losing head coach gets canned. And well, wow, 2 for 2. I'm really thrilled so far. And honestly, the thing with Harbaugh is if you listen to some of the older Ravens fans that are really set in their ways, they dig in their heels and say, oh, well, he wasn't the problem. He has a ring. Lamar doesn't. I just got to say, I've said this before, and I'll say it again just for time reference. I was in fifth grade when Harbaugh won his ring. So rings are nice. They're great for history, but they also have a shelf life. And the NFL, what's the joke? What's the joke acronym they use for it? Not for long, right? The NFL is a what have you done for me lately league. And we can say Lamar has his flaws. He certainly does. But at the end of the day, Lamar doesn't play defense. Why are you blowing these double-digit two-score, sometimes three-score leads? Why? And one of the issues with Harbaugh is he's a stick-by-his-guys coordinator. which that in and of itself is fine, but it's a double-edged sword. When one of his guys is Zach Orr, the current defensive coordinator, and he's going to bat for him, at some point you got to say, look, dude, cut your losses. And honestly, I just think he needs to go. And I think some team will scoop him up and he can do an immediate turnaround. I think he's a solid, what's known as a tier four head coach, which is a guy who maybe your ceiling, maybe you do have a ceiling, but he can come in, he can set a culture, he can turn a place around. That's kind of how I view him.
I feel like, if anything, Harbaugh is definitely going to be the most sought after head coach in this cycle. That's for sure. Adam, would you agree?
Yeah, and that's a great segue into my take, because I just think that, contrary to popular belief, I think Harbaugh, wherever he lands, he will improve that organization. And I think as far as his clock management, his in-game decisions, benching Derrick Henry, the whole nine yards, this guy has made some really bad decisions on the football field. And that doesn't mean he isn't a good culture setter. And I think that's what he's going to do to whichever team that he ends up coaching for. And look, I kind of disagree with the comparison to Andy Reid, because with Andy Reid, his issue was that he just didn't have the tools in order to win his championships yet. The best quarterbacks that he worked with were Donovan McNabb. He had Michael Vick for that one year. He had Alex Smith. And then he had Patrick Mahomes, and that's when they started winning championships. So it's just that he needed the tools in order to do it. When it comes to John Harbaugh, he had that. He has Lamar Jackson. The issue is there's not enough discipline on the team. They're not managing the game well enough. They're making mental errors. And they're really good at setting a winning culture. But it's not a disciplined one. And he doesn't make the right decisions on the football field. Again, I do believe whichever team he ends up with, he's going to improve that organization. That doesn't mean that he didn't have his flaws and that he didn't cause his own firing. Because that team, these Ravens teams have been loaded with talent. Loaded to the gills with talent. And you know, you want to know what another thing is that I really didn't like? It bothers me, and I'm sure Tuck would agree with this as well. He did not hire the right coordinators, like, ever. He does not know how to hire the right people.
Well, Mike McDonald.
It's exception to the rule.
All right.
True.
But he's not very good at it. So that's something that I look at. Two things can be true at once. He was fine as a head coach, but he had so many flaws, and he was very overrated even when he was considered an elite head coach.
You also have to remember, when he became the Ravens head coach, he was only the Eagles special teams coordinator. So he didn't, you know, he wasn't definitely calling plays. He wasn't calling plays on offense or defense. So if he was truly going to be calling, he didn't pick the right guys to call those plays for him, except for McDaniel. But, you know, that could be a little bit of a case of, like, he kind of wasn't an experienced enough coach to be taken over a head coaching position at that time. But, you know, he had to grow into it. He grew into a head coaching position as time went by.
Which is a fair point, but at some point you have to learn how to do it, especially when you've been a head coach for the Ravens for as long as you have, right?
18 years, I mean, that's a long time.
That's like at some point you got to learn how to hire the right people.
Yeah, that's what the Eagles are struggling with. That's what the Eagles are struggling with. They're struggling with picking offensive coordinators. It's the same thing. Like you got to
let somebody pick it. If it's like, I want Howie to pick the offensive coordinator, I don't want Nick to do it. So maybe
John, you know, Harbaugh goes to the next place. He doesn't pick these guys. He just lets the decision be made by the upper management.
Yeah.
Anything else we want to touch on from this? All right. Let's move on. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the playoffs. Playoffs! Oh, best time of the year. Best time of the year. All that and more. This is the Fulmer Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fulmer Rooski Podcast. CJ Medeiros, Chris Kostich, Adam Wright, Mike Warmby from Squawking Eagles. Special guest for us for today's Friday episode. This is easily the best time of the year for football. You got the college football playoff going on right now, NFL wild card, or really just the end of the NFL season with all the drama. And now we're into the playoffs. Drama all season long. And now we get to this wild card round. We'll start with the first game on Saturday, which sees us with the highest point spread of the weekend, which is the Rams being 10.5-point favorites on the road to take on the Carolina Panthers, who got screwed out of potentially winning the NFC South at that point last Saturday. But Falcons and the football god said, not so fast. You guys are getting in. But, you know, when you look at the Panthers and the rest of the NFC South, this is, well, you get what you get. That's for sure. Panthers have the lowest point differential of any playoff team. I think it's like minus 68 or something like that. It's something outrageous. But history is on the Panthers' side. Somehow, some way, history is on the Panthers' side. You know why? Because in cases like this, the team that hosts, in terms of lowest point differential, and in this scenario, it's the Panthers. They are undefeated. Undefeated.
Wow.
And we've seen this exact point spread from the same exact Panthers-Rams game not that long ago, in which the Panthers ended up winning at home against the Rams. Now, question is, can lightning strike twice? It could. It very well could. But it's also the NFL. It's hard to beat it. Never mind beating a team 3 times. It's hard to beat a team twice, especially in one season.
Eagles did it last year in the playoffs.
Yep, exactly.
3 times.
There you have it. Thoughts around the room here on this game. I feel like that most of America is going to be leaning the Rams here, but also the Panthers. You really never know. It's a team that never wins the games that they're favored in, but they always get it done when they're double digit underdogs. It's a little insane.
I feel like you're leaning towards the Panthers here.
That's the problem, is that like with these niche statistics, I'm like, oh man, it's hard not to go that way.
Yeah. You know, I like to, what I do during the year is I reformatted the NFL to have geographically correct divisions. And so in my geographically correct divisions, I don't think the Panthers even make the playoffs because of their 8-9 record. Uh-huh. Because in my division, they had the whole NFC West makes the division, because it's the Raiders, not the Raiders, I'm sorry, the 49ers, the Chargers, the Rams, and the Seahawks. All 4 make the playoffs, and then the Lions, the Panthers don't even make the playoffs. So the NFL got what they wanted last week with making that Week 18 meaningful, right? Everybody was watching. Everybody was, all right, this is a meaningful, because they got to get their money. But this week, Panthers, Rams, are you going to watch this game? Who's going to watch this game?
I'll watch this game.
I'm not watching this game.
I love football. I love football. So I love
football.
Watch.
I love football. I don't need to watch this game.
If they win, then you're gonna be regretting a lot.
If the Panthers win, the Panthers are not going to win this game. No way. No way. The Rams are a much better team. Granted, they are also a more experienced team too.
Yeah.
You know, Stafford, and with Puka Nacua. Now, If Nico Dowell goes crazy, then there's a whole different story, right? Because we know what the Rams' run defense looks like. You know, that we've seen what has happened to them in the playoffs. So, but I don't see the Panthers winning this game at all, home game or not.
Adam, CJ.
Yeah. In a weird way, and I'm definitely not going to argue whether or not they're going to win or not. Whether they're going to win or not, because the chances are certainly slim. What I will say that in a weird way, not having experience can be an advantage, because these young kids literally don't understand the gravity of these games. They're so inexperienced that they've never been there before, so they just see it as a game. They don't understand the magnitude of it. And they've already beaten the Rams once. So it's a game where I feel like this is going to be a very sneaky close game. I really do believe that the Panthers are going to give the Rams some problems. They have the advantage of home fields, although it's in Carolina. I mean, being in Charlotte, not sure how much of an advantage it gets, but you still get your own turf. This is going to be a sneaky one. And the Bryce Young to Tetero and McMillan duo has been really nice. And that Rams secondary is getting more and more suspect as the season goes on. So I think that's going to give the Rams a lot of problems here. So an underrated Panthers defense. I think this is going to be a little closer than we all may think.
CJ?
I don't trust the Rams, man. I really don't. Like, it's not even about like their run defense and their defense in general outside of the pass rush, which, yeah, it's suspect, all right. But we also have to like really take into consideration is, yeah, I'm sorry, you got yourself into a shootout with the Cardinals? Yeah, I have news for you. You're ice cold. And that's just kind of how it's been ever since that Panthers game. They have just not looked the same. And that Seahawks game really just solidified, okay, you're very good, you're very explosive, but you have flaws. That complete burnout to end the year is terrifying. Meanwhile, the Panthers, they're just a grab bag. What are you going to get week to week? Who knows? Are you going to get possible face of the franchise Bryce Young? Are you going to get recently benched like Bryce Young? Who knows? Nobody knows. That's the fun. That's the joy of the Carolina Panthers, or the heart palpitation of the Carolina Panthers if you're a fan. So honestly, I'm not going to lie. They caught lightning in a bottle. Can you do it twice? I don't know. I'm leaning no. I don't think so. But much like Adam, I have this sneaking suspicion that this is going to be close. I think this game might be sneakily ugly. And
playing with house money, too.
Rams. What you said?
They're playing with house money, too. So yeah, it's like, I don't think anybody actually has faith in them. Mm-hmm. And I think the Panthers know that. And again, like you said, CJ, the Rams, I mean, it's all on the Rams, isn't it? Like, yeah. They're the ones who are sitting there and saying, like, we better get it done. I mean, Matthew Stafford's getting older. We don't know how much longer he's going to be playing at a high level. They have the freaking Avengers on, like, everywhere you look. I mean, I see this sneakily being the 2020 wild card round Buccaneers visiting they were called the football team at the time, if you guys remember that.
Washington football.
They called them the football team.
Yes.
And sneaky one score game. Taylor Heinicke, if you guys remember, that was his first ever start. Ugly game, one score game. Everyone knew that the Buccaneers were winning, but it's like, who is this kid? Actually played pretty well. I think we could get something like that.
Wow. You're definitely piquing my interest now to want to sit down and watch this game.
I'm definitely getting you to turn on the TV.
You're getting me to turn the TV on.
Let me
play it in the background.
I found the stat that I was talking about, so let me kind of re-clarify what I was saying. to minus 69 point differential. Nice. The only playoff teams with a lower point differential, the 2010 Seahawks, the 2011 Broncos, and the 2004 Rams. Each of those teams won in the wild card round. Of course, the Broncos beating the Steelers at home, and the Seahawks beating the Saints, the Beastquake game.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. That's why I call it the wild card round. It's anything can happen, right? That's why they call it that.
Hell yeah.
That's why. Should be.
And that's why I love football. All right, next
this is
game
probably going to be the – sorry.
Oh, you're good? What were you going to say?
I was going to say this is probably the craziest wild card round we're going to get, because in recent years, like just in years past, the wild card round has been a bit of a throwaway round. It's like wake me up when the divisional round starts. And now, like this year, we have so many good wild card round matchups where it's like I really am excited for it. And I never felt this way before. Most of the time, the teams that are expected to win are going to win. And the teams that sneak in, they just know it's gonna be over. They're just glad they're here. This year, it feels like a lot of teams really have a chance, and I'm excited for it.
I like it. Let's get to the primetime game for Saturday night. The Bears and the Packers. Surprisingly enough, Bears opened up as favorites in this game by 1.5 at home. But since Tuesday, the line has swung to the Packers. Packers, 1.5-point favorites on the road, which
that's wild.
That's a little surprising to me. Yeah. That's like,
especially for a team who's like banged up, like really banged up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting Jordan Love back, but what about the other injuries that we're looking at here? It's like,
Their whole receiving corps is hurt.
Yeah. It's all, I feel like all roads have to lead to the Bears on Las Vegas freaking knows something that we don't know about, which seems to be all the freaking time. But that's, hey, you know what? That's what we're looking at here. Unfortunately, Caleb Williams did not hit 4,000 passing yards. He was damn close, which, hey, always next year. I believe he will get it next year. But for this year, I know that the Packers are favored, but like I said, don't see the reason why Bears should have this game in the bag. This team has been, granted, cardiac Bears all season long. They've been in some wars, to say the least. And it's gotten to them to this point. Ben Johnson has been that guy as the head coach. He's gone Caleb Williams to play as a quarterback that you can win because of. Probably not to the fullest extent yet, but we're getting to see that part of Caleb Williams that, well, you're supposed to expect out of a number one quarterback. Bears have a good running back committee going as well. Kyle Manungai, DeAndre Swift. They've been dealing with injuries with in the wide receiver core as well. So I'm kind of curious to see how that ends up playing out. Maybe that's another reason. Maybe that's a reason why that the spread flipped. But my gut feeling is Bears. Adam or Mike, you seem like you're ready to go.
Yeah, I gotta say, you know, last week the Bears wanted, all they needed to do was win, and they had the number two seed, right? That's all they had to do, and then the Eagles went ahead and lost to the Commanders with their backups.
Do you wish that the Eagles had their starters for that game?
Hindsight, yes. Right? Because I had a feeling that the Lions were going to beat the Bears anyway. So I was like, you know what? Eagles need to put their starters in and win this game. Because everybody, you know, there's a lot of people in Philadelphia are like, Tanner McKee, he's the next God. He's the next God. So he's not him. So we saw it. And so now, you know, now they have to suffer with the third seed. I would have loved to see them get the second seed, because I would have liked to Eagles draw the Packers that first round, because the Packers are beat up. They're a team really down, and you know, Love I think has missed two games I think. So yeah, I would have really liked to see the Packers kind of come in here and just roll over pretty much. That's what I think is going to happen in Chicago. I don't think the Packers can beat the Bears. I don't know why that line is that. So yeah.
CJ?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why these are the odds. I don't get it. Look, I'm not a better. I don't know. And like Chris said, there's a really legitimate shot that Vegas knows something we don't, as is usually the case. But I don't see it. The Packers defense has been largely defanged ever since Micah Parsons tore his ACL. Their receivers are all banged up, and even when they're healthy, there's no real alpha in that room. There's no like, hey, this is the guy. Is it going to be Romeo Dubs? Is it going to be Christian Watson? Is it going to be Matthew Golden? Is it going to be Jaden Reed? Or heck, maybe one day it's going to be Dontavian Wicks. Who knows? But I don't see it. Yeah, I know the cardiac Bears. That's a thing. And I know they've been fluky as hell this year. They just hibernate until the fourth quarter. And sometimes, as Evans with the Niners, and that's not enough. But this is one of those times where if they were fully healthy, I could maybe tilt towards Green Bay. But all those injuries, I got to go with Chicago here.
Adam?
Well, what I will say is that I think the Packers have the advantage at quarterback. They have it where it counts. And when you look at the overall coaching matchup, I think it's closer than you might think. I think Ben Johnson is a better culture guy, whereas LaFleur is much more of a mind. He's an offensive mind who's just serviceable as an actual coach. So the Packers do have it where it counts. I think the Bears definitely have the advantage in the rest of the roster. And I'm not saying Caleb Williams can't play and that he may not eventually develop into a better quarterback than Jordan Love. But I think he's about a year off. He's not quite there yet. He's prancing around. He's trying to make big plays. He's holding on to the ball a really long time. And a lot of times he makes big plays, but most of the time he doesn't. And you can see that in his completion percentage. I mean, you see the highlight play and the highlight reels. But then when you sit down and watch a game with Caleb Williams playing, most of the game, he's not all that good. And I like him. I do. I think he's going to be good. I just don't think he's fully developed yet. And I think that's why Vegas is looking at the Packers and saying, well, they have the experience. Jordan Love has I think he has one or two playoff wins. I know he has at least one.
He has
he beat the Cowboys the year before last.
Mm-hmm. But like this past year, I'm trying to remember. I don't have the numbers in front of me.
They played.
They played the Eagles last year.
Yeah.
In the round they one. Lost to them, and, obviously.
Yeah. Round one.
Okay. So they have. He has a playoff win under his belt, and he's been there an extra time. That's more than Caleb Williams has. So I don't know. He very nearly. The 2 years ago beat the 49ers going into San Francisco. They lost by only one score. And if a couple plays go right, they might be in the Super Bowl that year. So when you look at stuff like that, I can understand. I can kind of understand it. They have it where it counts. It's not all about the surrounding roster talent. Sometimes if you have the quarterback who can overcome a lot of the deficiencies, then you can get it done in the playoffs. We've seen it a lot of times with many other quarterbacks on wider scales. I think you can see it right here for just this one little wild card round with Jordan Love. Not making any picks here. I'll save that for – got a bracket going soon later in this episode, but we'll see.
Yeah. I want to bring up another storyline real quick before we move on to the next game that was kind of circulating Green Bay earlier this year. And a lot of people are calling for Matt LaFleur's job middle of the season. Could we potentially see some shockwaves if the Packers are one and done here?
I think so. There were some reports that there were at least two playoff teams that are interested in Harbaugh if they go one and done. They didn't say who, but I would imagine one is the Packers.
Even with all the injuries they've had, you think that he still lose his job because of that?
I don't think so. I don't know. Like, the whole thing's weird because when you really look at LaFleur, right? Like, he's made it to the NFC Championship a couple times, didn't do well in said NFC Championship. In fact, one game he gave the ball right back to Tom Brady and didn't see the ball back the rest of the game. He hasn't made it back to the NFC Championship since. Every season seems like it just ends underwhelmingly. Granted, I maybe he gets a little bit of leeway since he's on year three of Jordan Love being a starter, but also on year three of being of Jordan Love being the starter. Should we be seeing something more out of the Packers at this point?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, good point.
Maybe in a couple of years, but like you said, this is a guy who's been to multiple NFC championships. He's in the playoffs almost every year. In fact, I'm pretty sure he hasn't not been to the playoffs.
Yeah.
You talk about a guy who moved on from Aaron Rodgers, an all-time great quarterback, and they're still getting production out of the next guy. And even with these injuries, they're still in the playoffs. I think there's some value to that, and maybe people begin to say, okay, it's getting old, the fact that he doesn't really have much of a culture and he's not much of a coach, but there's still value to some of the things that he does as an offensive mind. He's not like a Mike McDaniel where he can't coach at all and he's all offense, just all scheme. I think LaFleur is good enough so that he can stand on his own two feet.
Fair enough. Let's get into Sunday. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for getting the reference. My dad says that all the time. I'm glad that he's know it.
Yeah.
Jaguars, Bills. Bills favored 1.5 on the road against the Jaguars. I would say this is probably the most intriguing matchup, not because it's the Jaguars and Bills, but Bills have never gotten a win in the wild card on the road, especially with Josh Allen as quarterback. I think that's probably the most intriguing part about this, on top of the fact that the Jaguars are red hot right now. Those are my takeaways. I think if we're looking at history, it says the Jaguars, which be very, very interesting to say the least. Oh, Packers did miss the playoffs in 2023.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. Because that was the first year without Rodgers having his favorite toy.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. Good call. Anyways, back to Jaguars Bills. Thoughts on this game?
This is the year for Josh Allen, right? There's no Patrick Mahomes. There's no Lamar Jackson. There's no Joe Burrow. This is his year, right? And he's sixth. He's probably not gonna have a home game, right? And so he's gotta go to the Jaguars, and they have a 1.5 favorites. You know, which Josh Allen are you gonna get? You know, you're gonna get Josh Allen who takes a sack that's about 40-yard sack out of field goal range against the Eagles. Or are you going to get him who throws dimes in the snow? Like, who are you going to get? Like, I don't know. And the Jaguars are hot, right? Jaguars are a team that is like they're playing with house money. They were not expected to be this good after last season and with Liam Cohen being the first time coach this year. So after that Duval comment, like, who knows what they were going to do, right? So This is a toss up for me. Like, I don't know, to be honest with you. I really don't know about this game. This is the game I'm interested in watching.
Let me
that one we can agree on.
Yeah. Let me re-clarify my statistic real quick. Buffalo 0-5 on the roads in the playoffs under Sean McDermott, which evidently started with a 10-3 loss at Jacksonville in the 2017 wildcard round. They've lost 8 straight games on the road in the postseason, starting against Miami in the 1992 AFC Championship game.
Oh, wow.
Or, 1992 AFC Championship game was the last time they won on the road. Sorry. CJ?
Ugh. This is truly the coin flip game, I feel like, of all of them. On maybe Eagles, Niners, but this one's the one where it's like, all right, I got nothing. Like, literally just flip a coin. The Jags are very young. Trevor Lawrence is just pulling random BS out every week and winning. They, I don't know if they're hitting their stride or if they're playing over their head. Like I said, Lawrence has just become the most unpredictable, like just volatile quarterback we've seen in a good minute. But for the Bills, I know they should be scary, but I have a question. Are the Bills scary or is Josh Allen scary? Because when I look at Josh Allen and, you know, and I look at the rest of the Bills, I just go, really? Because the rest of your team really just seems to be James Cook. And we have seen that when James Cook has a lid put on him, Allen disappears. Like, I remember like watching like games where James Cook is wrapped up and Allen can't do that. I mean, I feel like they work well off each other. And if I'm their owner, Terry Pegula, right? And I'm their GM, Brandon Bean, I'm sitting down Sean McDermott and saying, you're coaching for your job. Mahomes is gone from our path, but now he's also gone from our excuses. If you do not win the Super Bowl this year, it's you are fired. It's now or it's never. And I truly believe that if the Bills, specifically the Sean McDermott Bills, because Allen I like, McDermott I don't. If they don't win the Super Bowl this year, then I don't think they ever will with McDermott. So, hot take, I'm tilting towards Jacksonville here. I think it's going to be an insane game. It's going to be back and forth. And I think there's going to be some nonsense going in. But I just, it's not an Allen thing. It's a McDermott thing. And this just might be the stage where Allen can't save him.
Adam?
Yeah, I'll give you, so I'll just give you one game. Because I do think Allen, when he has time to throw and he has a really good offensive line, can be dangerous. The Buccaneers visiting Buffalo. James Cook was limited to 48 rushing yards. He had over 100 total yards, but through the air, it was Josh Allen being able to help the team, essentially will the team to a victory. I mean, he had to score 44 points in order for them to win that game. They have a weirdly really good record this year when games turn into shootouts. And since this is a warm weather game, I have a feeling that this is going to be one of those games where it's just back and forth. This is going to be one of the more exciting. This is going to be one of the more exciting wild card matchups in recent memory, I believe. Both teams have really good means to score. And when I say teams, I say one team and then Josh Allen. I just have enough faith in Josh Allen that he'll be able to will them to at least this one win here. And I just overall, yes, the Bills only have the advantage at the quarterback position and kind of the running back position, but we have seen time and time again in the postseason, that's kind of all you need. And I don't think this week is going to be an exception. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is a good enough quarterback so that he can win in the postseason just yet. He hasn't earned my trust quite yet. So I'm taking, I think I'm taking that into consideration.
I don't know. Cause Trevor Lawrence also came back down 27 against the Chargers that one year, almost knocked out Patrick Mahomes the next game. You look at Josh Allen and the Bills, all they do is rely on him, and that ends up being the Bills' biggest downfall is that they have to rely. Not that I'm saying relying on Josh Allen is worst-case scenario, but when your entire world relies on Josh Allen and everyone else just decides, we have Josh Allen, we can't lose, that's when you lose.
Well, his only playoff win revolved around Brandon Staley's defense – puking all over itself, and Justin Herbert, who's known to be one of the worst postseason performers in recent memory.
The Bills remind me of the Eagles of the 90s, because McDermott is from the Andy Reid coaching tree, and during those years, Donovan McNabb had a great running back, but never had a good wide receiver all those years, except for the year where they had Terrell Owens. That was it. You know, James Thrash, Todd Pinkston, like these guys, Freddie Mitchell, like these guys are grocery store guy names. These guys don't play the football. This is what I see in the Buffalo Bills. They see in the 90s Buffalo Bills, the 90s Eagles, where Josh Allen is great quarterback, great running back, but who is he throwing the ball to? To be honest with you, Keenan Coleman, he's out for the whole most. I think he's been out the whole year, most of the year at least.
Yeah, because it was bad attitude.
Yeah, and then Shakir, right? Shakir, he's a good guy, but he's not.
He's a two.
He's a two. He's not a one. So who's he throwing to?
Yeah, his best targets are the tight ends, pretty much.
Yeah,
and that was the same thing with the Eagles. They had great tight ends.
The other thing, too, is when you don't have – I think it's either when Dawson Knox or Dalton Kincaid doesn't play, their record is ass. I forget which tight end it is. I think it's Dawson Knox.
Yeah, they're both virtually the same guy, too.
They really are. let's move on to the next game, which is Mike's Eagles. They're taking on the 49ers. Eagles are favored by 5.5 in this game. Mike, how are we feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm not afraid of any team in the NFC. As an Eagles fan, I am not afraid of any of those teams. Granted, the Eagles have struggled offensively, but they have shown that their defense can. They're Super Bowl caliber defense. So I am not worried about Brock Purdy running around like he was against the Bears. I'm not worried about Christian McCaffrey. This is going to be a game where the Eagles are going to come in like they did in the NFC Championship game 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and dominate these 49ers. The 49ers are banged up, too. We don't know if Trent Williams is going to play. Their defense is in shambles. They just signed Kaiser White off the street to come, and he's probably going to play on Sunday. I'm happy that the Eagles draw the 49ers. This is a game that the Eagles are going to show that they've just been a vanilla defense, a vanilla offense all year, and we're going to see explosiveness here in the playoffs, like we did last year. That's what we're going to see. I'm confident with that win right here.
Adam?
Yeah, I really like the 49ers in the postseason, but I also like the Eagles in the playoffs. These are two of the most winningest franchises in recent memory in the NFC. In the 2020s so far, these are the teams that are in the playoffs year in, year out. So experience on both sides is not going to be a question mark. What I do think is a question mark is on the 49ers side, on their well-roundedness. I don't think the 49ers are a complete team. This is a weird year where their defense is probably the worst part of their team. And Brock Purdy is kind of impressed me a little bit. I always thought he was a decent quarterback, but he was being propped up by elite weapons all around him. Well, guess what? Brandon Ayuk's not with the team anymore. Debo Samuel, not with the team anymore. His best weapon is George Kittle, who's been in and out of the lineup. He was hurt for half the year. And yet they've still managed to win. And you can credit Kyle Shanahan as well. Even when Brock Purdy was out for half the year, they were winning games with Mac Jones throwing to Kendrick Bourne. Nice little throwback to the old 2021 Patriots days. It was unbelievable. The 49ers are a well-oiled machine. But the way I see it, the Eagles are tougher. They know how to win at home. And there's a little theme that I'm starting to see that I really can't unsee anymore with Sunbelt or dome teams, where if they travel to cold weather environments, they almost never win. And I just think the Eagles are a much tougher team, and Eagles take the edge in this one. It may be a close one because the 49ers are very experienced, but so are the Eagles. So Eagles advance to another round.
See you guys.
Ooh. Honestly, I think this is going to come down to home field advantage, which is why I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off. I'm going with Philly. I have my misgivings about Kevin Petullo. I've said some heinous things about him, and that's not changing, goddammit. It's not. But this might be the game where I think the Niners' injuries really catch up with them. I think Purdy's going to play well. I think McCaffrey's going to play well. But sure, Kevin Petullo is going to be an anchor on offense, but the Niners' defense outside of like Diomedore Lenore is hurt. Their entire defense, as you know, was pillaged in free agency, and the rest of them who stayed got hurt. And that Niners' defense, I have no confidence in them at all. Brock Purdy's been playing out of his mind, but how much longer can he keep it up, especially without those weapons? And, you know, when you're going from the warm Santa Clara area in Cali to the East Coast, where it's just cold all the time, like Adam said, you know, the weather advantage, I think things are tilting towards Philly's favor.
I'm also tilting Philly as well. Last time these two teams played, of course, was 23 NFC Championship. That was when Brock Purdy needed to get Tommy John afterwards.
They played after that.
Yeah, they did.
It wasn't a good 2023 season after that.
Yeah. 22. That's played, what I know.
Yeah, 22. They beat him in 22, and then 23 was the other way around.
Right. My bad. But they're not going for Gordon Shanahan apparently isn't going with a E-Bug quarterback this week, stating that, well, it's happened to him once in 23 years and other people he's worked with once in 45. So the odds of taking away a roster spot just for an E-Bug isn't really the way to go. Part of this, I'm just looking at the ESPN preview, but apparently there's a lot of restaurant owners in Philly that are denying 49ers fans requests to do bar takeovers.
Yes, that has been a big thing this week. Last year, there was a big bar takeover, the Hard Rock. The Washington Commanders came in and took over the bar.
I remember that.
Eagles fans weren't even going to that bar. It wasn't really a takeover. And so now it doesn't become a viral thing. Now the viral thing is we're not accepting any 49ers fans into these bars for the takeover. It's the other way now. You're just being denied.
Are there ways around that? Like, I feel like you can just wear another jersey over that jersey, and then just everyone takes them off once you're there.
Then they
like,
can.
Like, it's like a flash mob. That's a flash mob.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, like everyone's just out. In. Like, you know, you start off like it's like a fake surrender. Like then you just, whoosh, and then, or like ever, it's like a blitz. Like
it's the Trojan horse.
They're gonna throw you out. Trust me, they're going to throw you out.
Rating Area 51 in 2019.
Oh, I remember.
You can't stop us all.
Yeah, but they did though. They did. But they did. They did stop everybody.
Well, no one tried.
Well, the small groups went.
Yeah,
they never had a chance. But
no. I just feel like if they try that, they're going to get thrown out.
They will, and that's why they're getting denied. They don't want the hassle with the whole, you know, took it over this bar in Philly. Trust me, like they'll do something to the Rocky statue, I'm sure, because they always do, and. Teams will keep doing that until eventually it works, but it doesn't work for the Eagles.
Let's get into our Sunday night game. Patriots 3.5-point favorites at home against the Chargers. All right, I'm just going to say it right now. As a Pats fan, if I were to choose the scheduling of these games, I would not have put this as the Sunday night. I would have swapped Eagles Niners and swap Jaguars Bills with Steelers Texans. That's just my opinion. That's my preview for Chargers Pats. I'm kidding. My preview for this game, Drake May. Drake May. Mike, this is probably the most Drake May glaze you'll see up close and personal.
Yeah.
That you'll probably see in maybe till you come down to Gillette or New England, whenever that is.
Come up for a game.
Yeah.
Eagles Patriots. Maybe that'll have to happen. We'll have to do something with that.
We should
reach out.
Or other way around. Maybe we take a trip out to the link.
Yeah. Out in Philly. Bro, we might get
murdered. We might get murdered.
Yeah, you may not make it.
We're going to have to do that thing. We're going to have to buy our Eagles jerseys and just run it. And only if they win, just.
That's it. That's all you have to do.
There you go. Look, outside of Drake May, right? You know, we can talk about MVP season, all that in a bag of chips, but you look at the Chargers and this is another team that kind of slowly limps to the finish line. You look at their offensive line, dog shit. The worst offensive line in the league, officially, if we're going based off of PFF grades, which I don't like doing that a ton, and other players have been very much against the PFF grade. But eye test, stat test, you name it, worst offensive line in the league, and they're suffering from it. And you can literally see from it that Herbert has no time. He doesn't have a single lick of a thought to throw a football before a dude's in his face. Pause. And I just feel like with the Patriots, they're getting guys back at the right time. Milton Williams, Will Campbell, granted, offensive side of the football, still point being made. Robert Spillane coming back. Guys are coming back at the right time. And I feel like, not saying that Herbert isn't going to have a terrible or a great game. Maybe he does have a good game, but I think that this New England defense is just going to overpower the Chargers offensive line. That's my take for this weekend.
I like your take. I'm a bit of a Patriots fan because of Milton Williams. I'm a Milton Williams fan. So
what a player!
What a player!
Thank you.
Yeah. It's too much money. That's okay. But if you listen to our podcast, we have a guy on our podcast, Mark, he loves anybody coming out of Oregon, and Herbert is an Oregon duck. And he just goes on and on and on about Herbert this, Herbert that. And we're like, this guy, he hasn't proved anything. Okay. He's
a great quarterback.
Yeah. But he can't win those really big games. Those really big games that are really meaningful. He beat the Eagles, but I think the Eagles beat the Eagles against the Chargers. Herbert didn't beat the Eagles. This is going to be a game that's going to be, again, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch this game. I'm going to watch this one.
Nice.
But
thank you.
You're welcome. But
we're taking over a bar.
I'm excited to see what Drake May can do, like playoff Drake May.
I have a little fear of mine that I would like to share, and I don't think it's going to come to light. But Drake May is in the top two in MVP odds right now, and he can very well win it. And the winner has essentially already been decided. They vote on Monday, right after week 18. And what I'm afraid of is, let's say the Patriots are one and done, and all of the schedule allegations or the schedule concerns are confirmed. It turns out maybe this Patriots team was only good because of the schedule. I don't think they are. I think they're good. I think they're good, and they had an easy schedule. But besides the point, let's say they are one and done, and then he wins league MVP. That may be the most paper award that I would ever see of all time. We're talking about the award, and you're out on wild card weekend. Do you know how rare it is that an MVP loses on wild card weekend? It almost never happens. In fact, if my history is correct, the last time it did happen was a running back Adrian Peterson in 2012. And running backs, they don't play as big of a role on their team as quarterbacks do. But that's just a little fear of mine. I just thought I'd get that out of the way. Refer to my take from the previous game. Sunbelt teams and dome teams almost never win on the road in a cold weather environment in the postseason. It almost never happens. Unless you're Tom Brady on the Buccaneers visiting the frozen tundra. But if you're going to use a quarterback who was previously playing in New England for 20 years, then I think that you're
Throws out the window.
It's a bit of an outlier.
Yeah.
But listen, I'd much rather be an unknown with Drake May in the playoffs than be the stain of the postseason past of Justin Herbert throwing four interceptions to just one touchdown last year. And a few years prior blowing a massive lead to the Jacksonville Jaguars of all teams. I'd much rather be the Patriots. That should go without saying. And you should expect them to win this game for many different reasons. Chris brought up the offensive line. I think that's a great point, and it's probably one of the most obvious reasons that the Patriots should win this game, because that interior defensive line, the Patriots, which is now healthy, Milton Williams and Christian Barmore versus that interior Chargers line, is going to be a mismatch, and I don't think Justin Herbert can survive that. Every dog has its day. And eventually Justin Herbert will finally win his first postseason game. But how could you possibly make the argument to me that that's going to happen this week? And if it does, it is a massive choke job on the Patriots' part. You should expect the Patriots to reach the divisional round.
CJ, before you give your take, I have a couple other statistics for you boys. Patriots 3-1 all time against the Chargers. The only time the Chargers have beaten the Patriots in the playoffs, the AFL Championship in 1964.
Wow.
Drake May in primetime this season, 4-0, 73.4% completion percentage, 1,200 passing yards, 5 touchdowns to 1 interception. Justin Herbert in primetime this season, 5-0 record, 10-2 touchdown and interception, averaging about 271 total yards passing and rushing, 106.3 quarterback rate, 7.9 yards per attempt. CJ.
Oh, this game fills me with so much anxiety because there's a lot, like I said before, I'm just so tired of the anti-Patriots trash talk. It's so ridiculous how all 9 Chargers fans are creating their bot accounts and saying stuff like, oh, you gonna catch Bell. Like, remember last season? We beat you 40-7. It's like, wow, you beat a Gerard Mayo team with no O-line. Shiver me timbers. You're so scary. Like, okay, that doesn't mean anything. It's like, oh, you lost to the Raiders. Like, wow, counterpoint. It's week one. Try harder. And, like, there's just so much trash talk coming their way. And for the Patriots, I got to tell you, if you lose this game, every hater is right. Then if you lose this game, you were schedule merchants. May's not MVP. And I'm worried that if they go one and done, next year they're going to crater. Because then their schedule is going to be harder. And honestly, if you want any kind of momentum, you got to build it now. Because if you go one and done and that stews into next year, that could do a lot of horrible things to your psyche. Kind of like 2021. And yes, I know this year's different. So Adam, don't jump down my throat. That goes for you too, Chris. But I'm just saying, like, a one and done's a really bad look. So, but as a whole for the Chargers, they're a dome team playing in the cold. That does not bode well for them. Second, I don't trust Justin Herbert in the playoffs. Yeah. The Chargers beat the Pats 40-7. Justin Herbert's never won a playoff game. And if you can't beat Herbert with the worst offensive line in the league, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, the only thing that scares me is that the Chargers defense with Tuipulotu, Mack, Derwin James, Tarib Still. Like, I think they're good. They have a good defense, but New England's just, I mean, you got to be better. And I'm really scared. Maybe I'm just listening to too much of the haters, but you don't want to let a team like the Chargers catch you napping, because worse yet, imagine being the team that Justin Herbert, AKA If Man, gets his first playoff win against. Cause next year you're going to crater if you go one and done. But I also just, as much as I'm afraid, I just don't trust Justin Herbert. I really don't, at least not in the playoffs. Not to mention he's playing with a busted up hand as well.
He's been playing with a busted hand the whole season though.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, but this is the playoffs.
Like half and of it,
also
yeah. Half huh? season. Sorry.
Okay, cool. But I'm just, another thing too is I've seen Chargers fans saying, huh, Pats have no pass rush. Herbert's gonna have all day. Like, talking like you don't have the worst offensive line in the NFL. And now, not to mention the Patriots are gonna get healthy the right, or they're getting healthy at the right time. Yeah, they're getting all their guys back. That's huge. But there's one more thing. Chargers fans have said, you may remember last week, all their starters didn't play. They rested their starters. Oh, Pats are banged up. The Chargers are rested. I would actually counter with, are you going to be rested or are you going to be rusty? Because you might have just snuffed out any momentum you may have had. Like, by sitting your starters for that game, which, like, I get it, the Patriots could be coming in warmed up. The Chargers, I don't know. It's really important New England wins this game. I just want them to win a playoff game, because one and done, I think, could have really bad ramifications for next year. But I'm still going with New England for the sole reason of I don't trust Justin Herbert.
All this negativity about one and done this, one and done that.
CJ, God, for someone who's not – CJ, for someone.
Oh, wait, hold up. Let me guess. You're going to do what? A 98.5 gotcha, aren't you?
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to compare me to 98.5.
You sure do know a whole lot about what they're saying with their bot accounts and everything. Are you just, do you have a Twitter account that we're
No, this is all on IG. All I see is, 40-7. Oh, we're rested. It's like, no.
Where?
No. 47 was last year.
Where?
You're not rested. You're rusty. Huh?
What platform are you seeing that on?
Instagram. On
Twitter.
Instagram. I have said this. Do you want me to say it a fourth time? Instagram.
Yeah, I want you to say it a fifth time now.
Instagram. But I'm just saying, like, God, all nine Chargers fans have really pissed me off. And not only do I hope New England wins, I hope New England just curb stomps them. Because mark my words, Chargers fans, New England could win this game, then lose in the divisional round. I'm going to be insufferable towards you. I already have an If Man rant lined up if New England wins. So please, I hope the Chargers get, I just hope they get crushed.
You said that the Patriots are going to have a hard time next year if they have a difficult schedule. Is that what you're saying?
If they go, it's not just their schedule next year, which is very hard. I think it's like six hardest, but I still think they can win. You know, if you have a good quarterback, you can win. And I do think Drake May is a good quarterback. I just think that on top of going one and done, I don't like that.
This would be a carryover is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm just worried, like, the last time they went one and done in the playoffs, that was like a complete collapse. But that team was –
Mac Jones was the quarterback and Bill Belichick sabotaged everything.
Yeah, I mean, I know. Like I said, it was different, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, all your PTSD is all based your PTSD, off of a different look regime.
I don't care, bro.
The top two worst things that could possibly happen this postseason are, it's one of two things. It's one and done or losing in the Super Bowl. I think this is the type of young team where you want to do something that is not going to traumatize the young kid that is just developing. And I think it's poetic that the Patriots, for Drake May's first postseason game, he's facing his pre-draft comp, which was Justin Herbert, a quarterback who is really good in the regular season, who we don't trust in the postseason. I'm hoping that he's not – that Drake May's an unknown right now. I really, really hope that he isn't exactly Justin Herbert. I don't think he is,
I don't think he is either.
Herbert even struggles winning games in the regular season. He barely gets winning records year in, year out. In Drake May's second full season, first full season, 14-3.
Well, Drake May has a pedigree, though. Like, Herbert doesn't have his pedigree as much as Drake May. Drake May's dad was a football player. His mom was a basketball player. His brothers, like, he's got a lot of athleticism in his background. Herbert, you don't really know anything too much about who where he's coming from. So, you know, I don't know if you guys follow Brian Benchwarmer or Benchwarmer Brian on.
Oh, Benchwarmer Brian. Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, he has that whole Drake May, like Drake May, just Drake May, Drake May, Drake May. Yeah, like, it cracks me up. I always wanted to say, ask you guys if you know what that. Why does he do the Drake May? All he speaks is Drake May. Like, is Drake May his nickname or what is that?
Yeah, that's literally it. His nickname. So if you had a nickname, just choose one from history. Like, let's just say Tom Brady, you could say Tom TB12 Brady, or Tyran the Honey Badger Matthew, Peyton the Sheriff Manning, etc. Somebody just said, there's a meme page, you may have heard of it, called Drake May Lover, where the whole thing is Drake May is so cool, he doesn't need a nickname, so they just call him Drake May. So Benchwarmer Bran, who is a Patriots fan,
right? Yeah,
just has him just whenever he's playing Drake May on his little skits, just says Drake May. He just speaks in Drake May. It's very funny.
All right, let's get off the paths. We've been at it for a little bit. Drake May. Wild card round, Monday night football, the final Monday night football game of the season. Steelers versus Texans. Steelers, 3-point underdogs at home against the Texans. It's Houston. That's all you need to know. It's going to be a sloppy one. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe so. Fourth quarter, I could see some fireworks building up like it did with the Baltimore game. For a Pittsburgh-Baltimore game.
Great game. But
Houston's defense is just straight fucking nails. Let's be real. Straight nails. They're almost unstoppable. We talk about the Jaguars. Well, Texans are on just as much of a heater as the Jaguars are, if not better. It's just unfortunate that Houston got hit with having to go to Pittsburgh on the road. But I don't know, actually. This just came to mind. Do we put the dome team thing onto Houston as well? I mean, Houston hasn't been terrible in the cold.
That's a good question. They do play. Let's see, though. They can play an open. You know, that they're not always in a dome stadium.
True.
Open. So
yeah, it does.
You know, it doesn't get cold in Houston that often. Not that much, right?
So, but and when it does get cold, they end up closing the roof anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's iffy. Like, I know that I think last year they went to Kansas City and they lost in the cold there. So I like Houston. I like DeMeco Ryans. I like him. He's a former Eagle. I like him a lot. Do I trust the Steelers? I don't know. It's a coin toss in my mind, really. But I like Houston. I like Houston. Mike Tomlin, he never had a losing record, but his playoff record is not great. He won the Super Bowl, but like, was it really his team or was it Cowher's team? Like Bill Cowher's team? Like, I don't know. But it's interesting. Like, is he going to get fired if he's one and done? That's another thing.
I think he does. He hasn't won a playoff game since 2016.
Wow. Yeah. That long.
Well, it was technically 2017. It was the 2016 season. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I remember they beat the Kansas City Chiefs because of like an offsides penalty or a false start or something. All I know is the Chiefs were going to win and they shot themselves in the foot. It was Eric Fisher, if I recall correctly, doing a false start, I think.
It was three presidents ago. Barack Obama was still in office.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Wait a minute.
Yep.
No, Trump might have just gotten sworn in for the first time. But all I know is I
was you're sworn in 2017.
When Mike Tomlin won a playoff game.
What did you say about Mike Tomlin? What?
I was a freshman in high school, for reference, when Mike Tomlin won a playoff game. Chris was a sophomore. Adam, you're either a sophomore or a junior.
But yeah, so my point is, we were all in high school when Tomlin won a playoff game.
I was graduated college.
So like,
I was graduated both by that time. So,
but I'm just saying though. So just so we all understand, just for reference, it has been a while. And for the Steelers, I don't know how long you can hide behind the he's never had a losing record shtick, because yeah, 9-8, is it a losing record? No. Do you want to be 9-8? Do you want to be 10-7? No, you don't, especially when you're getting belt put to you and you sneak in as the fourth seed or as a wild card team. Honestly, I think it's going to be ugly, but I got Houston. This is going to be just an awful defensive showcase, but that Houston defense is going to send Rodgers to the retirement home where he can, you know, collect his AARP checks, to quote a line from our good friend Justin Tucker.
Yeah, who knows? I mean,
Tom Brady, so I use that for Rodgers.
That's the other storyline here. Who knows? Maybe this is the final time we see Aaron Rodgers on a football field.
I think he's got one more year. I'm thinking Minnesota next year for him.
Yeah. The other big thing, too, is that Pittsburgh's going to be getting DK Metcalf back as well, which they haven't had him the last couple weeks. That's been one of the
bigger... Oh, right, because he was suspended because of the whole the fans, right? You
know. Slapping thing. Potentially racist, not racist, I don't know.
Right.
That stuff I like to leave alone.
Don't go near the stands. Just stay on the sidelines. You don't have to go near the stands. Why are you going to do that? Like, come on.
I would just like to say that playing under a retractable roof is essentially the same thing as being in a dome, because what happens when the weather's bad?
Yeah, it closes up.
Yep.
So it's I guess defense does travel, but the Steelers do have the advantage on offense. They have the better quarterback in this game. Even Rodgers Olds, I'll take over CJ Stroud. And DK Metcalf is back, so he has a toy to play with. This will be a much closer game than I think. And I do think it's going to be sloppy. So it's going to be close, and it's going to come down to those final moments. Let's just say the game is close. It's late in the game. It's a one score game. No one's been able to score any points, and Rodgers has the ball in his hands. Maybe able to turn back the clock. CJ Stroud has the ball in his hands late in the game. How are we feeling?
He looked good. He looked good against the Ravens that last game. He was throwing like pretty dime passes, so he could dial it in again. Sure. Yeah. I don't know about CJ. I don't know.
I will say the one game that you could probably say the Texans played in that was a cold weather game that they won from this year was against the Chiefs back in 18, 17, 16, week 14. And they won 20-10. That was at a Sunday night game. And they won 20-10.
Yeah. So defense does travel. But the postseason is a much different animal than the regular season. So once you get into that point, things are just different. So the Steelers and the Texans, I mean, Rodgers has been there and done that for a decade and a half. The better part of close to 20 years, I'm pretty sure, at this point. Because he was drafted in 2005.
Yeah.
He was drafted. But, I mean, it was 3 years before we finally started a game. I don't know. It's going to be cold. It's going to be 36 degrees. And the Texans can't really score any points. So the Steelers' defense is pretty suspect, but they've lucked out by going against C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins, who are their best offensive players.
Yeah,
so that's something to consider there.
Yeah, especially with the run game for the Texans, they're just inconsistently healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, never mind Joe Mixon, but all right,
Joe Mixon.
Yeah, Joe Mixon. Thought we would see him at some point, but
yeah, I thought they were going to see him at least a little bit, but not even once.
I was hoping. All right. That is all the scheduled content that we have for today. But Adam does have one other thing real quick, and we're going to leave it to him. He's going to do his playoff bracket. Adam's bracket.
Adam's bracket.
There we go.
All right, we got some music to hit up over here. We got it's like
I'll turn on for you. I'll turn on for you.
I got some. I don't know.
All right, we ready to go?
You are a net negative on society.
We have voice clips. Sorry about that. That wasn't me saying it. That was a voice clip.
Go ahead and die.
Peaks DJ
Patriots fans who are upset about Drake May starting. Give me some rock. Give me something that is. It's,
yeah,
don't like Chris. Lofi.
Yeah, we don't need music.
Lofi. Right. Who calls it low? Oh, ew, Lofi. You. That's disgusting, Chris.
All right, don't need music. We're ready to go. Right, let's do this. All right, let's start off. We're gonna start with the AFC. We're gonna work our way out, and then we're going to the NFC. Work our way out, and then we're gonna get to the Super Bowl matchup. I choose the Super Bowl winner. All right, we're gonna start with the Chargers at the Patriots. This is a mismatch on all fronts. The Chargers are a dome team. Patriots take care of business. All right. We have the Bills visiting the Jaguars. I did slightly allude to it when we were doing our game picks, but I think Josh Allen is going to become too much for the Jaguars. The Jaguars haven't historically been a very good postseason team, and Trevor Lawrence has really been no exception to that. He did have that one postseason win a few years ago, but like I said, that was against the Chargers, who are historically probably the worst postseason performing team of all time. And Brandon Staley and also Justin Herbert can't play in the postseason. So give me the Bills. They advance the divisional round. Going to the Texans, who are visiting the Steelers. I took some time on this. I really did. And up until maybe 30 minutes before the show started, I was going to have the Texans winning this one. But I just think the Steelers are going to come out and win it. Steelers have too much on offense. Now that DK Metcalf is back, Aaron Rodgers is the most seasoned player in all of this playoff picture as far as postseason experience. I think that's going to come a long way in this matchup. The Steelers, they head to New England. We're going to start with the Bills, who are visiting the Broncos. Earlier this season, I had a take about visiting Denver in the postseason, and I still, for the most part, stand by that. I think there is something about that place. The energy, with how loud the stadium is, the thin air. It's an extremely hard place to play. But I think if anyone in this playoff picture is going to advance, it's going to be Josh Allen. I think he heads to the AFC Championship game. All right, Patriots hosting the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers' postseason magic is going to run out. He's old. I think that defense is way too suspect. I think Drake May and company score at will on that defense. They get revenge from week 3 of the regular season. They advance to the AFC Championship and they host the Bills. We get, as if we haven't gotten enough of Bills Patriots, we get it a third time in the AFC Championship.
You're making me horny, Adam.
Hey, yo!
I'm trying to turn this into a reel. We're just out here. I'm gonna cut that up. I'm gonna put that in there.
You should. You should.
Good. Good.
Hey,
good.
No diddy.
Good. People can know about us. All right. As if it couldn't get any better. The point difference head to head this year has been 2 points. 2 point difference. These teams have been as evenly matched as it gets. But this is Josh Allen's year, and Allen has willed his way to victories year in and year out, and he has a great record in shootouts. I think they advance to the Super Bowl, and Josh Allen makes it for the first time. Drake may have won league MVP, possibly. He may have made the AFC Championship, but he's too young to get there just yet. Just like Patrick Mahomes and, things worked out pretty well in the years after that. But some quarterbacks are just too young to get there. They have, the Patriots have a lot of youth. They have a great foundation. I think this is the best scenario for the Patriots outside of winning a Super Bowl. And that includes going there. All right, we get to the NFC. We're going to start with the Packers hosting the Bears. I did say that the Packers have the advantage as far as quarterback and coach, but overall, I don't think it's going to be enough. I think Jordan Love is a better quarterback, but he's not an elite quarterback. He's not Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, who can just will his way and be Superman and just win games. Jordan Love isn't that. Bears eke out just a little more magic, and they advance to the divisional round. 49ers at the Eagles. Sun Belt team, 49ers. They're a very good team. However, give me the Eagles. Eagles are an easy one.
You're just saying that because I'm here, are you?
No.
I've been following you guys.
Eagles winning in a cold weather game. Listen, California is technically, it's a long state, but the weather out in San Francisco is really weird. It's not a cold weather place. If they go into Philadelphia across the country and have to face that wretched hornet's nest over there, then they have no chance.
I've said some pretty heinous things about Jalen Hurts recently. I'm not going to lie.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I just say heinous things about Kevin Petula.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're on the Squawk Eagles podcast, CJ, because that's all we do there too.
Hey, I mean, look, I don't want to see good players getting wasted, so.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. We have the Rams who are visiting the Panthers. I did say this is going to be a close one. I think this is going to be a weirdly entertaining game and more on the ugly side, but the Rams get it done. The Panthers just don't have the guns to do it. I like Teteroa McMillan. He's much better than CJ and I thought that he would be going into this season. And Bryce Young is much better than I thought he would be. But it's not going to be enough. Rams advance. And that's where we are going to get into the divisional matchup in between the Rams, who are visiting the Seattle Seahawks. And the reason I'm going to have the Rams advancing is I have one name for you. Sam Darnold. I hate him as a postseason performer. I always have. He just feels like a choker to me. Not just feels. We've seen it. But we have seen, even from his Jets days, when we didn't know what he was, from that Seeing Ghosts game back in 2019, he is such a guy who's just, when he's under pressure, he's going to fall apart. So Rams, they advanced. They advance to the divisional, the AFC Championship game. We have the Eagles, who are visiting the Bears. Again, I like Caleb Williams. I really do. I promise you, I liked him coming out of the draft. But he is such a galloping chicken when it comes to running around in the pocket, trying to make the big play. He tries too hard. And I appreciate that effort. He doesn't have it. Not yet. And the Eagles are going to beat them with the experience. They go to the NFC Championship game. And there, the Eagles are going to host the Rams. I'm going to break my cardinal rule right here, right now, about dome teams. And I'm going to have the Rams go into the Super Bowl. I think Matthew Stafford.
That hurts.
He's been there. He's done that.
That hurts me.
I'm sorry, Mike. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. I'm going to break my cardinal rule. Maybe it's going to be a nice day. Maybe that's going to be how it goes. But I just, with the way the offense is run over there in Philadelphia, I don't see it. So they go to the Super Bowl. It's going to be the Bills who are taking on the Rams. I think the Rams win the Super Bowl. I think Josh Allen gets his shot, but Josh Allen can do a lot. I don't think he can beat Matthew Stafford with this offense. There's no way you can keep up with that. And the defense for the Rams is just good enough. Give me the Rams to win the Super Bowl.
Wow. Wow. We picked our Super Bowl picks earlier in the year. I picked Eagles, Bills. That's still going to happen, but I don't Eagles, Rams, Bills. I don't, is that a thrilling Super Bowl to watch? How much of a thrilling Super Bowl is that going to be? What do you think?
For which teams?
Bills, Rams. Yeah,
that's good. That would be a banger.
You think so?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, I think it would be pretty good. Again, like Josh Allen can engage in shootouts. Like he can just, even if he doesn't have the weapons, he can take over games. And I just think Matthew Stafford will be able to answer the bell. It's he's everything he's done with the Rams. He's only missed the playoffs once, and that one year I'm pretty sure he was hurt all season. Like,
yep.
He's been awesome this year. Just in his career over with the Rams. That was the best thing that ever happened to his career. Is being traded out of Detroit.
Oh, for sure.
So it'll be an entertaining one. And I think the Patriots, again, I love the Patriots. I think of course I love the Patriots. I think the Patriots will eventually break through. If my prediction is correct, then that means that Drake May does have the ice water in his veins to make a deep playoff run. And it just means his youth is going to be too much. I mean, like they've been able to square off against the Bills time and time again, but this is Josh Allen's year. This is the year he has to do it. And I think therefore he will.
All right. That is Adam's bracket for the NFL playoffs. All opinions are his own. Not mine.
Not mine either. Chris, you probably have Drake May going to the Super Bowl anyway.
Oh yeah, it's Drake May or nothing. Anyways, that is now all the scheduled content that we have for you today. Special guest Mike from Squawking Eagles Podcast. Thank you for joining us again. Plug the pod, please.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was always a great time to come on with you guys. You have to come on to our podcast. It's just that we record so late. We record 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. So I'm not sure if any of you guys are. Yeah. All right.
That's what we've been kind of doing.
All right. So we'll Eagles, Patriots. Yeah. Well, we work nights. So like we've guy works overnight. So, if you go over the podcast, Squawk Eagles Podcast, I just uploaded my interview with Ricky Waters, 49er, played with the Eagles, played with the Seahawks. I talked to him over the summertime about the Eagles, about coming to Philadelphia, what it's like to be a running back in Philadelphia, and then what it was like to come back to Philadelphia after leaving the Eagles. So it was really great talking to him. That's over on YouTube and on Spotify. I joined Brian Dawkins and the Winpact organization, and then you go ahead into winpact.org and you buy entries to win a Super Bowl 59 signed football by Cooper DeJean. So you go ahead of winpact.org and you can put in some entries to try and win a Super Bowl memorabilia for Brian Dawkins and Winpact. Game used, by the way, game used football.
You want to send us the link to that, and we'll put it into the description on YouTube. And
sure will. Yeah, I'll send you the link. Awesome. Yeah, so that's it. We hit our 200th episode this year. 4 years going, 2 Super Bowls in those 4 years. I can't complain. So it's great to be able to talk to you guys too, and to pop on and talk. It's really great. Always fun.
Hell yeah, we love having you on, Mike. And we'll definitely let's try to get some schedule where we get rip some takes about the Eagles on you guys' spot.
Love it. Yeah, I love it.
That's all for us today. Thank you for tuning in to another Friday episode of the Fumble Rooski Podcast. New episode coming out on Friday at 8 a.m. Tuesday at a.m. Today's Friday. Tuesday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, Pulmarooski_podcast. Keep up the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. And of course, give a follow, subscribe to the Squawking Eagles as well. Other than that, we'll see you on Tuesday. Over and out.